You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Starchild and the New Romantic. He's one of those people you've seen before and probably didn't even realize it. Over the years, he's played guitar for Solange and Blood Orange, and a few years back, he released his debut solo album, Crucial, which was a sonic exploration of contemplative songs suited for the night. His latest album, Language, showcases Brendan Cook delving further into contemplation while also opening his palette even wider, both sonically and lyrically. Within this talk, we go into how Language came to be, how the project challenged him as a musician, and how the album is beautifully an unapologetic ode to Black music. This is the 405 Exchange with Starchild and the New Romantic. Enjoy. So something that struck me when I was listening to your album was this big sense of contrast that you had going on. Like, there's like a sense of movement, but there's also a sense of calm. And I wonder if you felt that, does that speak to you at all? Like, is that kind of on the mark, you think, with your music?
Yeah, probably because, like, did you listen to the first record?
I did, yeah.
It's much slower, I think. If you like put it on a pie chart with this one, there are more up-tempo songs on this one, and so I was challenging myself to write more up-tempo things. Or sometimes you can have an idea that's like an up-tempo idea and you can make it into like a slower tempo idea, or you can take a slower tempo idea and make it up-tempo idea. So this record was the first time where I was trying to do both. So just on like a objective level, it happened. But to your question, on a, like a deeper sense, for sure, I'd say just because like I knew I was making a much like bigger album, and I wanted to show all the sides of like who I am, like where I come from.
I think what's really interesting is it felt like you were showing where you've been, where you are, but also felt like you were trying to show where you're going. Like, it kind of felt like you're almost taking ownership in what your sound is and what it could be.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's dope, man. I mean, like, what was really interesting about listening to this album is that, like, I felt like the sonic palette was both vast and contained at the same time. Like, I felt like it was, like, everything was deliberate, but you experimented. Like, does it feel like you were experimenting a lot?
Yeah, there's a lot of demos for each song, and I've forgotten how much experimentation and time kind of went into each part that was played, and then like how each part is supposed to sound. So there's a lot of different demos of each song, which I can reminisce when I hear it and go like, oh yeah, this is the evolution of this thing.
Like different variants and stuff like that.
Or really just as simple as like, you write a song on piano doesn't necessarily mean there's gonna be a piano part in this song. If there is, then okay. And then like, it could be like, sound like a normal piano, or it could sound like your grandmother's piano, or you could play it on an electric piano. Like, there's like, you know. So I definitely did that with a lot of the music on this album, because in exploring like funk and exploring soul and exploring pop and exploring R&B and really exploring like the people I like and like the sounds that I like, I wanted to be able to express the complexity of those different niches, which is really like trying to reflect my opinion on those niches, or my like relationship to these different, you know, like genres, let's say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, something that
sounds.
So, I mean, going off that point, I'm sure you're asked all the time about what it feels. I mean, how you as a creator make all these sounds coexist amongst each other. And I think one of the reasons you probably ask that a lot is that to a lot of listeners, it probably feels like you wouldn't expect all these sounds to work. But I have a feeling for you, it doesn't feel that way. Like, it doesn't surprise you so much, does it?
Well, you know, I'm like, I love groove. So, like, I feel like when you work from a sense of groove are some things that are kind of like rock solid things, you know. Groove is not the only one, but when, I think when you work from kind of those touchstones, those, yeah, sometimes you won't be as surprised because you know that's like the linchpin, or you leave that room open to be surprised because you know that at the heart of it there's this thing you're trying to unlock, a very specific thing you're trying
to unlock. You know what I like about you saying that is like, because I've seen you live loads of times now, and for people listening now that haven't seen you live, I think what's amazing is that when you're playing, whether it's guitar or keys or just even you just stood there singing, I feel like when you move, it's so clear that you could not move. Like, it's like the music's compelling you to move. Like,
it's true. It's true. I think my first relationship to music, like a lot of people, is through dancing. I've always been like a natural dancer since I was young, and I'm also more so a self-taught musician. So my relationship to being free within the form, but also knowing like what you fall back on, like knowing let's say if you were like really trained, you could go rip into a solo with a very specific idea of, say, a certain mode that you're gonna play in, and then you're like, okay, this is what I'm playing in. You know that mode, you know where you are intellectually if you know that. Let's say you don't. Well, then for me growing up, what I was always leaning back on was that sense of rhythm and that sense of groove, and that always could inform me to like my choices. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When did you start working on language? Like, when did that start for you?
It was kind of, I work on most of my records on top of each other. They're kind of like Matryoshka dolls. Yeah. And
that's a good way to describe it.
So like, maybe around like when I was finishing up the vocal recording of Crucial, the ideas for the next one came. So it was like 2013.
Yeah. Damn, that's insane. But it makes sense. I mean, there's going to be an intro to this, so people listening now are going to feel like I'm repeating it. But I mean, you've been really fucking busy these last couple of years. These last 3-4 years particularly.
So I
guess it just makes sense that working on an album would make sense for you that way.
Exactly.
Do you like that though? Like, do you like having it kind of siloed in like different moments?
Wait, what do you mean siloed?
Like, because
I'm never good with that word.
No, of course, yeah. Well, I just imagine like sometimes when you're on the road, you might be so focused on doing that maybe you have to put the times of recordings, like set it aside, or does it
the
even
thing
feel
about cool? Me is that I often need something like a project that's very stapled down to then let my mind kind of float into other things. So it helped, I think, being on the road. It helped kind of having like set times and like sound checks and things like that. If that's so locked in, then the free time kind of becomes more heightened, I think. And for me, that's when it gets going. That's when like songs just start popping out.
That has to feel dope, because I feel like that must almost be a way, a constant reminder that you're doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah, it is. And I need that because I get tired sometimes.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm curious, because something with the first album that I felt, and I felt this way about Language also, is that it felt like when you were singing, even though you were being vague at times, it felt like you were talking about very specific things you went through. Does it feel like there's a specific set of experiences that inspired the lyrics on Language? Like, does it feel that was the case?
Definitely more so than the first record. And I wanted to I wanted to challenge myself to do that, to pull back the veil that of the details, I think, about things, or just like the resolution on it, like turn it kind of like focus in a little more without giving it all away, without taking away the ability for the listener to add their own story or add their own experiences or their own scope on life without like directing that. You know, I wanted to be able to talk on this record about you know, like feeling like moment in time feelings that are very small but come out of a heightened, like, cauldron. And talk about that and how that affects your, like, spirituality, all that stuff, without having to make it very, like, direct. And, like, this is how I am. Yeah. I don't need people to walk away and know what denomination of Christian I am.
Exactly.
You know, to be able to kind of have that rapport, you know what I'm saying, with music.
I also thought something that really struck with me, because there are some songs that kind of speak towards going through a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of, it's interesting what you just said, because I very much felt like it's not that you were specifically speaking about fights or, like, loving moments. It was almost like you were speaking about all the ways those particular moments bleed into other facets of your life.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Exactly.
It's very engaging, the way that...
Thank you. I think that's what... I think that's kind of part of what helped me write this album, or to trust that this is what I can express, because that's oftentimes when I have something to say, when I'm kind of figuring out what things mean. I can be so focused on, or people, you know, you can be so focused on one thing, but it's until it catches up and starts to bleed into the other parts of your life that you start to realize what's taking a hold, whether it's good or it's bad.
Yeah. Can you, you know, like, reading up on the album, you described how you found yourself developing a pretty significant relationship with your phone while you were making this album. Could you talk a bit about that? Like, what was it about your phone that made it almost like a bit of a focal point?
Oh, man, it's crazy. Do you ever have trouble not sleeping?
Loads.
Yeah, okay, do you know, like, when it's, like, past 2 o'clock and you're telling yourself, like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You put your phone down and you just, like,
and
close
then 2:15,
your eyes.
You're stalling.
And then you just, like, grab your phone.
Yeah.
There was this time when I was working on this, and a lot of the subject matter was relevant, that I just, it's hard to describe. It's like, oh, here's a good example. You know, when you, it's like, it was like this. It's the feeling of you open your mailbox, and it says it's updated at 6:30, and you pull it down to refresh, and then nothing comes, and you close it, and then for some odd reason, like a minute later, you're checking to see
if something changed.
Yeah, there was just a time when I was on, like, a balance beam of expectation, and also just an obsessive nature of just, like, wanting to reach certain people, and there were conflicts and good things and bad things, but they were all kind of coming through this, especially because I was either abroad, or I was when I started writing the record, I was in my, like, senior year, I think, or junior and senior year at Purchase in college, and those are the years when you start, like, doing shows, and you start, like, being in rehearsal for, like, really long, and there's not much contact with the outside world, so, like, you put your phone down for, like, 15 minutes to run a scene, and then, you know, your scene's done and they're running the next scene, and your phone's been blown up like 20 times in between. It's like that kind of thing. You're, like, checking it and checking it. So I was always, I had that kind of relationship.
What do you think it was that made you aware of that? Because something that's interesting is, like, that's very relatable. I think a lot of people could, like, listening to this can, like, even think about their own selves going through that. But it's kind of not many people find that self-awareness from themselves.
Like, no, I did. Well, I didn't find it myself. So a lot of my friends helped me, really. Some of the people, like, my friends who I was living with, they kind of had to get me to snap out of it. They were, like, literally had to tell me, snap out of it. Never actually been in that kind of situation before. I was like, oh, my God, look what I'm doing to myself. You know what I mean?
Was there any resistance on your part? Or?
Just of, like, you know, there's a common theme, I think, in my songwriting of, like, like, telling the truth to someone, but also, like, lying to yourself for the sake of the truth that you want between do people, but you have to be like fully honest with yourself if you're going to be capable enough to like fulfill whatever it is you're trying to transact with someone.
Yeah.
I kind of lost what I was saying right there, but basically I didn't have that self-awareness and other people had to kind of like this. Had to like hook it up for me.
Yeah, you know, going to another aspect of the album, and I mean this in the most respectful way, but this album feels like such a beautiful celebration of Black culture in a lot of ways, and Black tones, textures, Black experiences.
Damn,
that spoke to me a lot, man. Yeah,
thank you.
You know, I wonder, because I feel like that had to have been deliberate on your part as a songwriter. Yeah. I wonder, like, what was it like for you to not only embrace that aspect of your culture, but want to push it forward? Because you don't see that all the time.
No, you don't. You know what it is, man? It's like, when I listen to, like Juicy Fruit is like a really strong song for me, especially on, like, the B side of this record. That's just... There are these songs like that I've known since I was really young, like Quiet Storm I was listening to the other night, Smokey Robinson, and like, oh my goodness, like it just goes on and on. It's just it's like timeless stuff. And I think the period of time that I was working on this record, I was on the road a lot with Solange, and you know, her records is doing as much as it's doing, and like I see people like Chance, you know, who like we're like the same age, you kind of have like a similar pedigree, and like all these different people, and like I see, and one thing I wanted to focus on was, you know, I noticed that everyone around me wants to what's that word with the I?
Oh, like implement or inspire?
Not influence, but innovate. Everyone wants to innovate. And what I wanted to hone in on was an innovation that's more in line with like the continuation of a lineage. Like, can you be innovative with the resources that are closest to you and come from like a certain place that isn't necessarily trying to like grab and create out, which is an amazing thing, but there's just so many people doing it. Like Blonde just happened and all this stuff just happened, and I was like, you know, working on these songs and things, but I really just tried to stick to these guns because I knew, like, well, look, Juicy Fruit, I can play that today and that is gonna hit someone, and those are the songs I've always loved, and those are the songs I want to make, and those are the kinds of choruses that I naturally write, and those are the songs I want my experiences to develop into.
Yeah.
You know, there's an idea of the songbook to me that's very like important, and yeah, it was very deliberate. It was a very deliberate thing.
Yeah, you know? I feel a very like obvious example is the video for Hanging On, which what's crazy is how well that fits with the song, like the relation between the song and the video.
Goodness.
Like, that's a video I've always been dying to ask you about since I've seen it, because I saw it months ago. Like, how did that video come together?
Well, it very much came together off of your point, which is, well, you're saying that you're surprised how well they go together, like that narrative and the simple narrative of the song. But that was another thing that I was trying to hone in on in my songwriting, is like, that how can you talk about these very like simple and honest things, or like, you know, the lyrics of the title track on Language and Hanging On are both very simple, of, you know, or like, you should have stuck with me, you know, if someone, like Betrayal, right, that's the first one, and then Hanging On is about that sense of hanging on. How can you take those simple, like, universal truths and show people how connected they are to even the biggest historical things that maybe they've never fathomed, and maybe that might help them see some humanity in the people who are actually there? So that was my idea with Hanging On, is that, okay, well, right, if you can take the simple truth that's in this song and connect it to the simple truth that's in this video, which has images and stories from something very specific, very time-specific, era-specific, but yet historically like a thunderbolt. Can people see into it something that they've never seen before with these people? And even more specifically, if you're talking about like the civil rights era and you're talking about like the current civil rights era, I think that's like the issue, is that, you know, people don't see our humanity, black people, people of color, you know.
I love that you said that just now, the current civil rights era, because I mean, as a black man myself, and I'm sure you'd feel this way too, it almost feels like that's an elephant in the room where no one wants to use that term even though it's applicable.
It's real. It's crazy. No, it's like we've completely overturned so many statues from 1964, 1968, just within this current administration. And I mean, we don't have to talk about how the prison industrial system is the current slave system. So it's like, you know, there's evidence all around us, and more so than evidence, there's experiences all around us. I mean, you just talk to someone. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that, because I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm not gonna tell an artist they don't have to be like super specific, but I don't think necessarily you have to like beat it over the head or whatever. Sometimes it's nice just to put the juxtaposition out there and state your case and let people experience that. So that's what
let people have that conversation.
They have that conversation, exactly. That's what I try to do.
You know, one of the things that stuck out to me on this album is how you made the guitar dance. Like, that's how it sounds. Yeah. And, I mean, from anyone who knows you, the guitar is a very important thing for you, specifically. And I feel like you almost wanted people who weren't... I felt like one of your missions with this album was to make sure that if people didn't know you love guitar, they would know it by the end of it.
That's good.
So, tell me, like, as the album's creator, what do you feel the guitar's role is on this album for you?
It's interesting. I think I tried to get back to a sense of like how I first started playing with it, especially electric guitar. Yeah. I'd say I taught myself how to play on a Spanish like acoustic wide fretted guitar. I taught like myself John Mayer songs and things like that when I was living in Atlanta when I was really young. But when I got my first electric guitar, the first thing I ran to play was Freak Out by Chic.
No shit.
Yeah, man. Like, I was in fifth grade and I was like, I was really trying to hit it.
I know a little bit about now. Guitar. Is that easy or hard, that particular song?
It's easy because it's all in the pentatonic right there. It's just it's like five and it's seven and whatnot, a little bit of eight down at the bottom, but it's the rhythm of it. It's the right hand that's tough.
Okay. Yeah, the right hand. Like keeping that like tone going all throughout.
Absolutely.
Like, make it consistent.
Oh, so you play?
I can help for people that know. I can help in sound checks. That's as good as I could do.
Oh, that's good.
I could keep a beat on like mostly bass and drums and guitars, but a little horrendously. But I know I'm around musicians all the time.
Right. Well, I also felt like I kind of had to play a little catch up because.
Really.
Because Crucial was much more of like my first recorded investigation into synthesizers, I'd say. Because before that, I was, you know, rapping and singing on my hooks and stuff, but I was all about cutting up samples and things like that. So, in between Crucial and Language, I'm on the road with a guitar in my hand 90% of the time. I'm kind of like, well, you know, I should get more of that on here. And,
yeah, it's a part of you.
Yeah, it's a part of me, and I'd like to use it in the ways that I first kind of did it, so I tried to show an array of that.
Yeah, that's really dope you're able to do that.
Thank you.
Know, like the way you're playing with your voice, for example, too, like on Ophelia's Room is fucking striking. Like,
thank you.
You know, increasingly enough, it's one of the most barest moments on the album as well. Did this particular song feel like new territory for you? Because as a listener, it felt like it was
new for you. Yeah, it was nice. It was the last song I think the last song I wrote for the record, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but that's why it's in the middle of the album. But the recording of it, it's on this album, the finished recording of Ophelia's Room is the closest, I think, to the demo.
Wow.
And everything was recorded in one take. I was upstate New York, and it was in the middle of the night, and I woke up and I recorded the whole song.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know how you felt that next morning? Like,
really good.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed that. It needed that.
It needed like that specific block of time you could dedicate to that.
And yeah, and the record needed that song too, because there isn't one song on the record that kind of is like blatantly just, this is what I'm saying, this is what it's about, this is who I'm talking about, but Ophelia's Room is the song that's necessary for the arc of the album, I feel, to come together.
I think that's very true.
Thank you.
You know, something I really want to ask you, and I think this is just for me being like a designer and loving colors and art, is like, the color red plays quite a role in this album, both visually and within like the songs as well.
Right.
And I wonder, like, what does that color evoke for you? Because obviously that's very important.
I'm not a synesthete. I don't have that relationship to like color music, but
I'm glad you say that though, because a lot of people say that without, and you know, it's
fake. Yeah. I mean, I have no comment. I'm not saying anything. I do not claim to have it. I do not claim those who do it, you know. But I will say that like chords, songs, just like days and temperatures have a tone and mood, you know. Certain minor chords to me are like blue. A lot of songs have B minor in it on Crucial, and Crucial to me is like a very blue, I mean, that's, it's depicted in kind of the artwork. Moving out of that space, I knew the record I was making was more front-footed, more like front-face affirming kind of a thing, and something about what I wanted in the tempo of the music and what I felt in my third chakra was that color. It was that color.
That's really
dope. And then I turned around and it became the color, it became the color of like most of this Lounge Tour, and I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, okay, cool, something's going right here. I'm like, got to, you know, be in my little thing.
That's amazing. I mean, you brought up Solange just now, and like, I mean, we're getting to like near the end of the talk, so it's kind of fitting I bring this up, but you've been fortunate to work with some truly amazing people. Dev, aka Blood Orange, who's an incredible dude, Solange, and Chairlift, to name a few.
Great people.
I wonder, like, not, because I'm sure you asked about this constantly, about those three specific groups of people, and I don't want to ask you about inspiration, but I want to know for you as a creative, especially someone that went to a place like Purchase. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit familiar with Purchase too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what's it like for you to just be around people like that? Like, not just friends, but people who live and breathe their creativity, because that's what all those people do.
Man, it's like, sometimes it's so scary, sometimes it's so frightening, because sometimes you get a glimpse into, like, everyone also is they're like my, like, Dev's like an older brother, and like Solange is like an auntie, and like, you know, so they're a generation above me. So sometimes I get a, just because that's where they are in their career, sometimes I get a peek into like what that takes to maintain that, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't do this. But then other times I'm just like completely like inspired, like even when I have nothing going on, they're like, like, Dev's about to put out his next record, and I'm just, like, really stoked about that.
Yeah.
And that's, he's someone, especially, I think, it's because we live in New York, that's very inspiring, because it's like, oh, here's another person who's, like, doing it, you know, and he's next to you, and he's, like, keeps it going, he's dealing with the same crazy people on the train, too, but he gets, you know, he comes back, and he gets his stuff done, and sometimes you need, like, you know, role models like that, I'd say.
Yeah.
Patrick is another person like that. Patrick is someone who, Patrick and Ahmed Sin Kane are like people who I've seen. It's just amazing to see how you can have a life and do music.
Which is important.
Which is very important.
No one teaches you that. No one tells you that.
And quite often you find out that that's like the hardest part. It's not like necessarily getting jobs and stuff, but really like, okay, like how do you sustain this, you know? And those guys, like, not that I've figured out how to do it based on them, but once again, it's like good to know, like, they live in New York, they get it done, you know who you can go to ask questions, and sometimes you can just watch in awe and be like, oh,
geez. It's that matter, I think, of seeing that it's that just by virtue of somebody else achieving it means it's possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm a visual learner, so it's like, you know, I need that.
Dude, yeah. I love that you said that just though, because I've felt that hardcore maybe the last 2 years. Like, I do photography, I tour with musicians, but there's other photographers who do it at a higher level, and naturally, like peers who I, like, aspire to be like.
Yeah.
And you see that, and it's inspiring, but it's just like you say, you see, like, what that takes, and it really does make you look inward with yourself.
Yeah, it does. It does. Especially, like, coming from the world of, like, let's say, you know, not for nothing, like, I've been a session musician for more time than, say, Solange has been a session musician. She's, like, a primary recording artist and producer and writer and what have you, but, like, you know, I've bounced around bands and, you know, been on different tour buses and stuff. I've had to, like, really try and weigh in, okay, like, yeah, where do I best serve myself, how can I stay sane and best like start,
you know, what lanes you want to be in, what lanes you don't want
to
be in.
Yeah, man, I know, so I'm trying to book more acting gigs.
Are you really?
Yeah,
you killed it. And you know
somebody,
you know what's so funny, like, and
you dance. Saw a play?
Huh?
Oh, now that
you're are you in a play?
No, I thought you maybe about to tell me you saw one from Purchase. I was like, oh my god.
Oh no, I was gonna say, like, in Dev's videos, I'm thinking particularly of like Augustine's and
best shape of my life.
Yeah.
I'm coming back though.
What's that other one that I love so much? The one with Carly Rae.
Best of you?
Best to you. What I love so much about that video is how you're not like, there's times where you're not meant to be in the focal frame and you're like, fuck that, I'm here anyway.
Hey, I mean,
you get your moments.
I guess if that's what it looks like, man, I guess that's what I'm doing. That's hilarious.
Oh, dude, it's been real catching up with you, man.
Yeah.
Congrats on this new record.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm glad it resonated with you. Did you get a copy or anything?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I heard it digital first, but I haven't got a copy.
So, oh, yeah. Did Ghostly send you one?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. A CD or a record?
Record.
Oh, nice, man. Good. I got to get you a fanny pack, too, or something.
Do you sell fanny packs?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, man. I got a website.
Man, you're making a comeback with the fanny pack.
I am. I'm all sold out of...
Dude, thanks so much for the talk.
Thank you. Thank you.